Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 316. I am Chris, as always joined by Tony.
Team Valor sucks!
And Fozzie.
Howdy!
And Jeff.
Fozzie's on Team Valor!
And Pete is here too.
Hey, I'm actually here.
So all of us are here. We could talk about some Pokemon Go, because we have not all been together to talk about that. Oof. The game just kind of went wonky on me, which has been my experience with it. So.
I feel like that's just part of playing the game right now.
Yeah.
So. The worst part, and the majority part for me, I can hardly get in now. Like, I get in, like, one out of every five tries now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm in right now. It hasn't been too bad. There have been a couple of days where around, like, peak hours, I've had to shut it off and just be like, well, it's not going to work with me. But
yeah, I was coming home the other day, and normally I'll just, like, leave it up, and none of the Pokestops or gyms that I would normally go by were showing up, so it was just like a GPS map.
Oh, you gotta reload it when it does that.
Yeah, I had to shut it down. But then I couldn't get back in. It was acting like I didn't have an account. It kept saying it couldn't find me.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
At that point, you just throw in the towel.
Yep. It's like, I'm done for right now.
Do you guys ever get the glitch where it won't recognize you touching the screen?
Yes.
A lot.
That's super frustrating when all of a sudden you see a Pokemon that you want and you can't do anything about it. You have to, like, start it.
I'm, like, standing next to a Squirtle, and I'm, like, slamming the screen.
Yeah.
Hey, Squirtle, I wanted you.
What was it? There was a Growlithe right near my work today, and I wanted to grab that son of a bitch, and I couldn't. It's very frustrating. I'm actually clearing out my Pokemon right now. I got to transfer all these fuckers that I don't need.
Get some candy.
I had no problems with it today, although I did not play much today because it's 900 fucking degrees outside, so...
Yeah. Well, Jeff, what do you do again? You work at the post office, right?
Yeah, I'm a mailman.
Yeah, that should be perfect for you, right? Because I'm a delivery driver.
Because he can totally walk with two things in his hands and...
Just
drive. That's what I do.
I could leave it... I do it sometimes. Like, I'll leave it open when I'm walking to get... basically credit towards an egg. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it drains my battery so much, and I want to listen to podcasts, so I don't play it much. Also, if I got caught playing that, probably wouldn't look too good. So
I just leave it up in, like, my water cup holder while I drive and stuff, and then I deliver pizzas and stuff, and so my route, depending on the... which way I'm going, north or south, I know exactly how many Pokestops there are between me and my destination. So.
Yeah. That'd be perfect for that job, for sure. But it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I could use it for walking around, but I don't want to drain the battery that much, so I don't know.
Oh, and does it ever drain the battery?
Yes, it does.
My girlfriend bought a backup battery for her phone because of that.
I actually bought one, too. Not for this, but I've realized that it would be smart for convention season coming up.
I was playing it for like an hour or something, I think, while we were on vacation, and my phone battery went from like 75% to 13% within like an hour. I was like, holy shit, dude.
It needs to be optimized pretty badly.
It needs a lot of work. This app is broken. It is broken.
It's
apparently got some great ideas, but it is broken. It needs to be completely redone.
While they're redoing it, could we add some gameplay to the some of it?
But I actually think the lack of gameplay
they are adding
makes
stuff.
It so endearing to people in its own weird way.
I mean, I don't mind that, like, you know, catching Pokemon is really just tossing a ball at it and kind of waiting for them to for you to stumble upon.
Even if throwing the damn ball is the most wonky thing on earth.
Yeah.
If you're trying to catch a flying Pokemon, you may as well not bother. I can't hit those things for shit. Like something.
You
like
have to actually adjust for the fact that they're flying.
Like, well, no, yeah, but I do, and it goes and it'll go right through it. I have tried to catch so many different Zubats, man, and it just these things are the worst. I hate them so much.
I love Zubats. You better, because they're everywhere. Zubats and Rattata, and what's the other one?
Pidgey.
Pidgey.
Well, the great thing to do is to just grind out Pidgeys and Rattatas and then just evolve them consistently for 500 experience a pop. Or 1,000 if you got a lucky egg running. And you just... Because, I mean, what else are you going to use all those candies for that you keep getting?
That's true. Evolve.
Yeah. That's what I did today. I'm almost level 14
but
now.
But that's it. That's the gameplay right there. That's all of it. You just described it all.
No, I... But that's okay. Like, I don't need, like, more of a game out of it. I'm okay with it just being, like, an occasional thing that I turn on my phone and
it's
check
become,
and stuff.
It's become way more than occasional for me. But, like... what I like about the game is, like, dude, I like geocaching, and it's kind of like a simplified version of that
bit. They use the geocaching system to, like, develop the entire map and interface.
I just love the idea of a game that gets you to go out and explore. Like, I just love that idea. And, like, what makes this special, despite the fact that, like, it has a lot of issues, is the fact that it's like a cultural phenomenon at this point where you could go outside and run into other people playing. Like, that's super neat, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm going to be traveling a bunch in the fall and stuff. So, like, I'm actually excited to, like, have this on while, like, exploring some of the cities I'm going to be in and stuff like that. Like, I think it's a neat way to engage with new places and sometimes with old places and, like, find new things. Like you were tweeting about, Jeff, or on Facebook.
Well, I did mention that today, but like, I'm kind of laying the groundwork here for Game of the Year stuff, but when it came out, both me and Chris were on vacation, so like I was traveling across the country as the week came out. That was really cool. But I think also timing-wise, it came out at a point when, like, this country was going through really bad shit, and it was like one positive thing that was happening that week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's like. For sure. Like, it was just like the counter argument to everything that was going on. Like, I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm excited to see what they do with, like, legendaries. Like, I wonder if they'll be, I think the smartest thing for them to do with Pokemon like that are, like, promotions and stuff for either certain, like, businesses or things like that. Like, hey, you know, or what you do is you have, like, certain events or holidays or something, because like the Pokédex only is still missing 9 Pokémon.
Right. It's what is it? It's did I see 140 something? 144.
Yeah. Well, there's 151, right? Because it runs up until Mew technically.
Right.
So 142 is how much it. There are 9 missing. And, well, this actually, I guess since we're talking about the game, this rolls into one of the news stories that I was going to bring up about Pokemon Go, that somebody, Kotaku had written, that somebody's actually finally caught them all.
Yeah, I saw that today, too.
And there's an asterisk on that because it is not even all 142, because there's the three legendary birds, right?
They're region locked, right?
Yeah, there are 4 region exclusive ones that you can only find in the wild in these regions, but you can hatch any of them in eggs. So like the Tauros you were just speaking about before, Chris, is the American exclusive Pokemon.
Because
it resembles like the American buffalo or whatever. Mr. Mime is the European exclusive. Asia is a Farfetch. And Kangaskhan is the Australian one. Those 4 can only be found in the wild in those specific countries, or regions. But you can still catch them in eggs. Normally, you just gotta get lucky. And then
a Scyther. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, buddy, that's cool.
Scyther, baby, Scyther.
Whatever. I'm gonna throw a raspberry at it.
Yeah.
Throw a raspberry.
And then the 3 birds, Mew, Mewtwo, and then Ditto, which they haven't included in the game yet for some reason.
Ditto.
I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if they don't necessarily know how gameplay-wise gameplay-wise, Ditto would work, like in the combat or something, because his whole shtick is just copying.
He's a breeder. Come on. He's a breeder.
Right. That would be nice if that's what they do with him.
Sex slave. That's all he is.
That's exactly what he is. You catch one man and you dump him in the daycare, and then
that's
he never
all you
leaves.
Do.
And then somehow 700 hours later, he's level 150, but he still doesn't know anything.
And you never take him out. You're like, I don't want to pay all that money, because all you're going to do is sit here and breed anyway.
That's true. But yeah, I'm excited for... I mean, December was the rumor for Gen 2 Pokemon, but I think they should wait until January or something.
Well, I think they should wait until they fix their damn game first.
I agree.
Like, please focus on like making the servers usable.
Could we add a couple more Pokestops to my house? Because
right?
I only have one.
You can request them. Apparently there's a place where you can go and request Pokestops and gyms being added to the app.
Oh, that's cool.
I can use
my
gym by my house. Because
yeah.
To actually get to the only gym that's... Well, I mean, there's more than one gym near me, but to get to the one that's closest, I have to drive there.
Has anybody tried the combat like in any significant way?
I tried it when I was in Epcot, and I had no idea what I was doing. Evidently, it's all automated, so...
Yeah, you swipe and you tap. It's a timing minigame, basically. Mm. And then you hold down in order to use the special attack, I think. I couldn't get the special attack to work when I was playing.
I had no idea what was going on, and I got my ass kicked anyway, so...
It's not very... It's okay, but I don't think that's ever the main draw. Like capturing gyms is going to be... what keeps this game going in any way, shape, or form, I think. Like, that's not going to be the long-term draw. It's just going to be people getting out there and trying to catch things and stuff. Like, the combat stuff is fun, but...
It's not what you spend your time doing anyway. Like, you spend your time walking around and catching Pokemon.
Exactly.
I tried a gym once when I was on vacation. Same experience as Chris. I just didn't know what I was doing yet, so I just died. But I don't know. For me, like, my favorite thing is really just finding the Pokestops and, just... Like, sometimes it'll make me look at something I never even noticed was there. And, like, I pass it all the time. You know what I mean? It's just really weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I tried it once and I won.
I like the whole exploration part of it. But...
And then I put one of my weaker ones in the gym, which is what you do. And then about 3 hours later, it is defeated. I was like, whatever.
Was that
like,
what you did? Does it gain experience or something? Like, what?
No, so if you hold a gym for more than 21 hours, it gives you a defender's bonus, which is just a bunch of, like, their Pikachu coins, like the paid currency.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So that's the only way you can actually earn it, which is the only reason you might want to participate in the combat stuff. But I've never felt the need to buy anything.
right.
Except for maybe incubators, which would be really cool. But you kind of get one every two or three levels anyways. So I'm okay with only ever hatching two eggs at a time. But, yeah, that's the only, like, benefit to holding the gyms, is that if you're a part of it, you get the coin stuff.
All right. Well, that's Pokemon Go.
This week's Pokemon Go.
I will say that my son asked, he was like, do we have the original Pokemon? I was like, no.
This could be a gateway drug.
You can.
But
you have a 3DS.
I have a 3DS, but they're like I'll find a way for him to play a actual Pokemon game. Like,
well, the reason I said this is because they have the first three on the store for $10.
Virtual console thing.
Yeah, for the 3DS virtual console.
Don't do that though. Get him like X or Y or like Ruby or Sapphire.
I think I might just get him a 2DS for Christmas with the new one.
Yeah.
So excited, man.
Because I think he wants to like actually be able to have them fight.
I will.
What were you saying, Jeff?
Somebody's echoing.
Not me.
No, you guys are starting to break up with me, so I might have to reload this. But I will say, after playing this for a bit, like I finally was like, man, I might go get my first Pokemon game. Like,
do it.
You know, I was
do
asking
it.
Around.
Yes.
You were making fun of me, Jeff. You were.
Yeah, X or Y is the one.
You were making fun of me.
Because that one has like the newer mechanics that will actually be in Sun and Moon later. Because if you go for Alpha Sapphire or Mega Ruby, you're just going to have... It's going to be upgraded, but it didn't somehow have all the features that the game
what?
Right before
yes, they
had.
Did.
There was no dress-up, and there was no, like... And there was no, like, the fashion stuff. There was some other... A couple other things missing from it, too.
The thing is, though, now that you mentioned the whole virtual console thing, I was like, oh, I could try one out for $10. So, I don't know.
We'll see. If you want to go play a really old one that looks
like... Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Looks fantastic. So,
Jeff, this was a few years ago, but I tried out, was it Heart Gold? I guess that's a remake, right, of Pokemon Gold? Like the updated version?
Yeah, it was Soul Silver and Heart Gold, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I tried that out when it came out, and it just did not click for me. But I heard that maybe it's being that it was kind of like a remake, maybe I was just not getting the newer Pokemon experience there. So
the nice thing about the newer games is they're less grindy. They're more built for newer players.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're built in a steady progression way, so that way you never feel like, oh, I'm never. You're always going to be just powerful enough to have a good chance at winning if, like, you play your types right and stuff. Yeah.
You're not going to, like, get to a gym and be like, oh, my God, I need to spend the next 10 hours grinding in order to beat this. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, back in my day, we used to do that, and it was called work. God damn it.
You know what, Fozzy? I work at work.
Oh?
When I'm playing games, I'm done working.
Yeah, well. You know, things are just a little bit different in my generation, so.
All right, so there's our Pokemon half hour.
We should have one every week.
Hey, I was playing Pokemon, like, last year, and they were making fun of me, so I'm just saying.
I'm with you, Tony.
Things have changed.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if you guys ever talked about this, but you know that the biggest thing since Pokemon Go, or right before Pokemon Go, maybe during even, is that Jeff has left us. Bye, Jeff. Is that ghost Pokemon that dresses up as a poor imitation of Pikachu because he just wants to be loved?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Mewtwo?
Yeah.
The thing's awesome. I'm very excited for that Pokemon in games.
I'm excited for all of it. I love it when there's a bunch of new Pokemon.
Yes!
Like, just, you know... Although I don't like how they like reveal them all one at a time. Like
they didn't. They just put out a video that had like 6 or 7 new ones.
I'd rather just not know anything and go into the game and be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a Klefki. Look, I didn't know what a Klefki was.
Anybody else play anything that's not walking around with your phone out?
Yeah, buddy. I've been playing I Am Setsuna.
Okay, that's new.
Yeah. Even though Steam fucking double charged me for it, I'm still fighting with them over that.
Oh, wow.
But despite that, yeah. It's a really good game so far. I'm only 3 hours in, and that's a significant chunk. Apparently this game's only supposed to be about 20 hours.
Really?
Because it's not meant to be, Tony mentioned not... For Pokemon, not meant to be grindy. That's what... This isn't like that either, actually. Think a 3D remake of games like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI. That's kind of what the development team was going for. This is from the Tokyo RPG Factory.
Okay.
Square Enix's wing that was created specifically to make like old golden era RPG games. And so it's very much active time battle style. You have 3 party members, everything's turn-based. Everybody has a little bar meter that fills up from empty to full, and then you take your turn and all that fun stuff. But it's also, like, made in Unity, and there's no voice acting, except for, like, battle cries and stuff like that, which are all in Japanese. There's no English in the game, except for the text, obviously. But so far, it's a beautiful game. It's all snow. Like, the entire... From what I've read and from what I've seen so far, the whole game is covered in snow. Which some people said got a little bit tedious after some time, because it was a little boring looking, but I haven't tired of it yet. The music is fantastic. The soundtrack is probably the biggest thing the game has going for it. It's very somber. Very sad, very like, I don't know what other terms to use for it necessarily, dramatic, I guess, but like the game isn't built on levity, and like comedic humor. It's definitely like this is a serious world with serious problems and stuff, and so it's dour. I guess maybe that's the best word for it and stuff. The story is kind of similar to Final Fantasy X in the sense that there is a female character, in this case Setsuna, who needs to be escorted by a team of guardians to a place where she will then sacrifice herself in order to halt the spread of evil for that generation.
Damn straight she will.
I'm sorry?
I said damn straight she will.
Yeah. And so that's sort of what, and you know, you play as Endir, who's one of like the main guardians and stuff. Though he doesn't seem to have much of a story. He's more of a cipher for you to experience all the other characters' stories with. But all the other party members I've found so far are pretty awesome and stuff. But yeah, I recommend it to anybody who was like, hey, they don't make RPGs like they used to anymore. And it's like a short, for all the reviews I've read, it's only like 15 to 20 hours at the longest. So it's like a nice short dose of that kind of experience instead of having, you know, play 80 hours of a JRPG.
Yeah, that's actually a nice thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find myself these days caught in the middle. Like, I'm like, all right, yeah, I don't have that much time to game anymore, so like 20 hours is like what I would aim for. And then I'm like, but I feel cheated. Like, I wish I could get more game for my money, and this other game is 80 hours long, and I should play it.
And then you spend all that money and only still got about 20 hours of it.
Right, exactly. So I end up buying the long one, and not finishing it, as opposed to buying the short one and actually getting all the way through it.
Yeah. But,
What's the price on that?
It's $40 on Steam and PS4. It's not available on Xbox One.
You say $40?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's a quote-unquote budget title, if you want to put it that
not
way.
Not on Steam. $40 isn't a budget title.
Yeah, I agree.
I am Setsuna. All right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking to buy it, maybe wait until the fall sale, or the winter sale, or the Halloween sale, or the whatever Thanksgiving sale. Or, you know, the 8 other sales that will happen between July 21st and the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm looking forward to that Columbus Day sale.
Right.
That'd be exciting.
Where only BioShock Infinite is on sale.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I really like it so far. I've been looking for, like, even though I didn't play those old, like, SNES RPGs, it still reminds me a lot of games like Final Fantasy VIII and stuff with, like, the turn-based combat style and stuff like that. And combat's fairly... The combat is simple when it's happening, but outside of that, there's a lot of system management. So if you're into that sort of thing of, like, you know, lots of terms, there's text and then spirits and this and that, and everything sort of links up in a concise way to make combat flow pretty fun. It can be slightly overwhelming at first. But yeah, buy it.
Wow, there's lots of snow. I'm watching
this. Yes, that's what I was saying, man. Like, it's snow all everywhere. Snow. The entire game is snow.
Is it cross-play between PlayStation 4 and Vita?
Not that I'm aware, but I shall look.
I see there's a Vita version. That would give me something to do with my Vita.
Let's see what... Now, out of curiosity, on the store page, will it list it as a feature if it is?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't believe so.
That's a shame.
I don't know, maybe. I'm trying to look. I mean, they never do a good job of telling you.
Right.
So.
I'm only seeing it listed as PS4 on here.
Yeah. I guess, hold on. What does it say? I didn't know. Maybe the Vita version is later?
That's weird, because it was already out in Japan, right?
So, according to Polygon, there was a story in March that says, I am Setsuna, developers ditched Vita version in US to focus on PlayStation and Steam versions. So there's a Vita version in Japan, but there's not one here.
Well, that's shitty.
When asked if the company still sees the Vita as a viable platform, Hashimoto laughed. Indeed.
We have a question about the Vita that we didn't get to last week, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun, it's simple, it's not going to, like, overwhelm you with management's, with, you know, too much stuff all at once, I think. I don't know. If you're looking forward for that type of experience, I think I Am Setsuna so far delivers on that sort of thing without having to go back to things like Final Fantasy X Remaster and play a 60-hour RPG.
Right.
That you may have already played.
It's true. Speaking of, I don't know where I was going with that.
All right. Are we going to roll the news, or is there anything else anybody else
wants? No, well, I know Jeff wants to talk about some Life is Strange.
Oh, has he started playing that?
Yeah. Wait, am I here?
Yeah, you're here. Your video's not on, but your audio's there.
Yeah, I played that.
Did you get the first episode for free?
No, a couple of weeks ago there were all those sales on PSN and Xbox Live. I think I got the whole season for $8.
So I played it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
I played it.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Talk to me, Jeff. What ending did you get? Full spoilers, FYI.
Yeah. I got the Sacrifice Chloe, or I guess I took the Sacrifice Chloe.
I couldn't do it to myself.
I
come so far.
I weighed the option of her versus, like, you know, the entire town, and I was like, well. And I felt like that ending seemed more fitting because it was, like, it came back to, like, this idea that if she had not changed anything at all, everything would be right. And so, like, you know, all the time travel stuff was fucking with destiny. And so going back to the original encounter in the bathroom and letting it happen made everything else fall in the line and right again. And so I didn't check out the other ending, but
it's not as good. I'll tell you right now that even though I chose that ending and it was the more personally satisfying one for me,
yeah,
the ending you chose is the more thematically correct one, and it's a better and more involved ending. My thing was that I didn't give a fuck about anybody in the town. Like, they didn't spend enough time developing those characters, with the exception of Chloe's mother. I thought that I was like, I don't care if any of these people die. Like, all these, like, friends from, like, the college and all that stuff. I was like, who cares?
Well, a lot of them are rotten people too, you know. But It fit the narrative, I think, correctly when you chose the ending I did. But, I mean, I can see going the other way. That's the fun thing about these types of games is, you know, choosing your own adventure type thing.
Did you save Kate at the end of episode 2?
Kate. No, I was unable to save her.
Jeff.
She was mad at me because I had told her to not go to the police. I told her, like, let's get more evidence. And the only reason I did that is because I initially told her to go to the police. And I'm still new to the game at this point, and as I'm walking out of the room, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that was the right thing to do, like, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, I was, like, listening to that, so I rewound it and told her not to go to the police.
Huh.
That was, like, her main complaint with me before she jumped to her death.
So I actually made that choice, too, but I did save her.
Oh, really? So I don't know. Maybe I did something else wrong that pissed her off.
The thing I liked most, and the thing that I think a lot of people miss about trying to save Kate at the end of episode 2, is that a lot of the options to save her don't appear unless you poke around her room. Like,
her what?
Her room. Like, if you're, like, after some conversations, if you go around and, like, look at some of her stuff and some of her postcards and, like, the stuff on her wall, you won't get text options later that can help you save her.
Maybe that's why.
For me, like, I saw, like, a letter she got from her sister, like, the one that actually likes her, and I saw she had, like, circled a Bible verse as, like, an inspirational quote, and so I was able to use, like,
so you could be like,
I could tell her these things and be, like, and, like, they would, and stuff like that helped talk her down.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, there are people that care about you. Your sister, I know she cares, you know, like something like that.
Exactly, because, like, there are other options. Yeah. Like, your brother, and then if you say something like that, she's like, you don't even know me, do you? Like, I don't have any brothers. Like, fuck off.
That game was fantastic. I was blown away by, like, how good the story is. Like, it's honestly, like, by far for me, like, the best of these types of games that I've played. Like, it blows away Walking Dead Season 1 and all that shit to me. Like, it was just... It was a fantastic story.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it would have been on my short list last year for Game of the Year had I played it. Then it definitely would have – I would have been fighting for that one for best story. I don't know what we gave it to, but I would have been fighting hard for that.
Yeah, I think it was in my top three for sure, just of my own personal. But, yeah. No, it's a very earnest story in mm-hmm. a way that a lot of other games don't tell its story. Like, you know, there's an awkward quality to it that's really endearing in terms of, like, some of the dialogue and some of the voice acting and stuff, but, like...
It's hella good.
Oh, fuck off. God damn.
But, like, another thing about it is, like, when it goes for emotion, it does it really well, I think. It almost feels like an indie film or something at points. Like,
yes. It goes for that aesthetic pretty hard.
The fucking yeah, exactly, and the soundtrack is just fantastic. Like, I want to buy the soundtrack to it.
Yeah,
and I think above all else, like, there's a moment that really just blew my mind in it,
which one?
Like really, like, you know, like was like cemented it as like a great game is the end of episode 3.
Yeah,
when you go back to try to save her father. And you come back to the present, you know things are going to be changed, but I really was not ready. Like,
no, I was wrecked. Like, and you're lucky because you got to play them one right after the other. I had to wait months in between each episode.
I can't imagine. But, like, oh my God, that ending where you go to her house and her dad's there and he's alive, you're like, oh, cool. He's like, oh, Chloe's been waiting to see you, and she comes out and she's paralyzed from the neck down. I was just like, wow. Like, this is just great, like, really playing with the whole time travel aspect of it. And it's cool because, like, the time travel aspect, they, like, made it a part of the gameplay. Like, you could always rewind and change stuff. Like, I don't know. It was, like, a good blend. Like, it had, I think, a little more gameplay to it even than you might expect from these types of games.
Absolutely. I mean, it was very... Because the time travel allowed you to... It would allow them to put puzzles in the game without... having the game just be like, and now here's the game part.
Yeah, you know, right? it was part of the narrative, you know, like...
It's like, oh, well, it makes sense, game, like, you know? Yeah. She has time travel powers, so obviously she would try and experience things in order to get information and do this and that. It's not just like, except for the last episode where she broke time, and that had a lot of, like, awkward stealth sections.
Dude, that almost broke the whole game for me. Like, yeah. That was so unnecessary, because you're, like, 5 minutes from the end of the game, and they throw you into this half-hour, like, nightmare sequence or whatever the fuck
it was. The only interesting thing is when you're stuck in the bathroom with all the numbers for the key code.
That was neat. Like, figured out, like, you look in the mirror and you see the code or whatever.
Yeah, it's the one code that isn't in the mirror or something
like
that.
Yeah. Like... But, dude, oh my God, that part went on too long. Like,
it did.
My girlfriend was watching me play this, and I was losing my mind. I was so angry that they put that in the game. And it was so pointless. You just come out of it, and you're just like, whoa, I was kind of in a dream or whatever. It was like, you're at the climax of your story here. Don't ruin it. And, like, they almost did for me. Like, it was so annoying.
I get why they were doing some of it, because, like, okay, yeah, she's used her powers too many times in too many ways. Like, the timeline's...
You could have just had a cutscene. Like,
but... Well, and I like that they let you experience some of that, but not in the way of, like, hey, I now have to perform these awkward stealth sections and avoid all the people who have hated me.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was awful.
Or really some of the people I hate, like that fucking movie nut, whose name I don't remember anymore because he's
awful. Your friend? Yeah. Let's go see Planet of the Apes, yeah.
He's actually the worst human being out of the entire series.
But. He's okay, but... That part, like, there were very few things I didn't like in the whole series, but that was a huge part. Like, that, to me, like, almost would subtract, like, a star or a point from it. But, yeah. The only other really thing... The only other thing that really sticks out to me that I really disliked was the part where you had to find 5 bottles with Chloe, and I think it was like episode 2.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And you're just looking forever for this bonfire that was just like fucking tucked in a corner somewhere. Like, it was so fucking stupid.
It didn't take me too long on that because I think
forever.
I was able to just explore a little bit. Like, I was going to anyways, like, right? And so, like, the game kind of hid them in places where they thought you would go.
That bonfire, though, made no sense where it was. Yeah. Like, it was near the train tracks. It was, like, tucked in a crevice. Like,
there were puzzles I didn't know how to figure out. And, like, in episode 4, when you're in the farm, I couldn't figure out how to get that fucking machine up there. I didn't like that.
Oh, I don't think I had problems with that.
That was the one that stumped me. But, yeah, there's always one. But, nah, I'm
but
glad
really,
you
just that half-hour sequence near the end was so... Oh, yeah. Great game. Everyone else is here playing it or no? Hey, huh? Bueller?
I was playing it before you spoiled it for me, you jerk.
I thought Chris had said you played the whole thing.
No, I thought.
I thought you had played farther, and I don't think any of us had actually finished it, though, Jeff.
Oh, shit. Well... You should have said something. I don't think we would have spoilers about it until...
You goofed. Now you feel bad.
Well, okay, you guys should have finished
it. It's not like I want to play anytime soon. I'll probably forget everything you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's too much other stuff to play right now, so...
And Tony just left us. He just straight up left us. So.
Tony didn't play it at all, so...
Tony's now, I know Tony hates those types of games, but I think he might actually... Like, the only one that I think comes close to this... is like Tales from the Borderlands, which I love.
Which was my favorite one of those from last year. So
I'm really excited for season 2 at some point of that, but if ever.
I don't know, dude. The whole like time travel aspect of this, especially like I said, that one part in episode 3, like, dude, that was just a mind blowing moment. Like, that's like one of those things I'll never forget. Like, I was just like, whoa! Like I was like emotionally stunned by it. Like, I was just like, wow. That's a pretty awesome achievement.
I am looking forward to their next game, Vampyr. So.
That looks fun. I'm excited for that as well.
I'm interested to see whatever they do next. They really kind of took the like what was cool about Gone Home and made it like a real awesome game. Like, I don't know.
Vampyr is nothing like this game. So.
Well, no, I'd be interested to see anything they do, though.
I don't think it's episodic, right, Chris?
It's not. It's just a regular game.
I'm down.
I don't think it's narrative.
No, I think it's mid next year, late next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the footage they showed at E3 was alpha, so we're quite a ways.
Their games are all narrative based, Jeff, but I don't think it's a narrative adventure game like this.
Yeah,
That's disappointing.
It's I would think of a combination of Life is Strange and Remember Me in terms of
life. Which I think would be really good. Remember Me was I thought very fun. Like,
It was set in like Victorian times where you're a vampire, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that they're going with something different. I think they have 2 teams because they started work on Vampyr before Life is Strange was fully released and done. So there could be another team working on a second game.
They could.
And I think if they were to do a second season, it would be completely different characters, obviously. You'd have to, but that would be interesting to see.
In any case, I also played Tumblestone. The free Xbox Live game for Xbox One for the rest of the half month, I guess.
That sounds like a game that was made by the developers of Crossy Roads.
It was more likely made by somebody who makes those never-ending phone games.
The runners, or
no, like the ones that have like 640 different puzzles and
oh, those like Flow and stuff. Those are fun.
Like more like Candy Crush.
Oh, gross! Never mind. so like it's like a Bejeweled clone.
So you weren't impressed? Is that what you're saying?
No. In fact, I've already deleted it. But, I mean, it's not bad. It's just it belongs on a phone. It does not belong on your console. They certainly should not be charging $10 for it on PC and PS4. So, basic premise is you have to be able to shoot down three blocks. That there's, like, weird Tetris-y blocks that are up, and you have to shoot down three of the same color to clear them. So it is kind of like a match three, except you're not putting them in a line. So you're trying to figure out the pattern to clear enough blocks so you can get to the next part, so you can clear those blocks, and you have to clear them in a correct order, or otherwise you won't be able to do it. I played through 30 levels of it, which is the first section of that game, and I was like, I'm done. Like, there's like 10 more of those, so there's another 270 levels, I believe. It's like, I'm done. I played it for an hour. It's cute for a free game, but that's exactly the price it should be. It is free on your phone.
I have not downloaded it, and I don't think I am based on that.
No, I would avoid that. I am going to give Tron Evolution, which is the 360 game. For this one, I'm going to give that a shot, though. I've heard decent things about that. That's it. I beat the Technomancer.
Finally?
Yeah.
Did you struggle through that? I mean, I didn't hear good things about that game.
I had to push myself, like, over this week. I got it before I went on vacation, and then I came back and had no real interest in playing it, but Don did get a review code for it, so... felt I needed to finish it to review it, and now I will review it. It's meh. Like, it's the bad Mass Effect type clone. It would be perfectly acceptable if the game was $20, but it's $60. So, anybody play anything else?
I was going to get to this news, but we can do this now.
I'm playing Diablo 3.
Oh, shit.
Diablo 3?
Hey,
damn it, Fozzie.
That's a good game, Fozzie.
That is.
That's a game.
Fuck yeah. Oh, I played Layers of Fear.
What?
How's that? Layers of Fear.
Is that fun?
More like Layers of Who Could Possibly Care.
I see.
Hey,
fucking, so far, I'd say it sucks. I've only played it for like a half hour, but like... Chris, when you were in Disney World, did you go on the Haunted Mansion?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I have. I know what you're talking about.
Alright, so you know when you walk into the Haunted Mansion, you go in that room and the painting stretch?
Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
What? I never saw that.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, so imagine that. Imagine that over and over. Like, that's it. That's all I've done so far is walk in the rooms and weird shit happens. Like, it's okay, and I'm like, am I supposed to be scared of this or whatever, dude? Like, it's really clunky, too. Like, just even, like, your camera movement on the controls just feels clunky. Like, I don't know. I got on sale for $8. I'm happy I didn't pay more than that for it. But we'll see. I mean, my opinion could change once I get into it, but I doubt it. So, I don't know.
Well, you're not selling me on it, Jeff. And Pete, what were you going to touch on?
Overwatch. They launched their new hero on consoles today and PC yesterday. Yeah. So she's out, and if you have the game on Xbox, say 360, Jesus, they have actually pulled her from the game right now because something in her code is crashing the game on Xbox. Great. But otherwise, all the balance patches, I think the rest of the balance patch went up.
So yeah,
Diva and Zenyatta got buffed. McCree got buffed.
Turk guy, right?
Torbjorn, no, his patch, his nerf came a little while ago.
Okay.
But no, this was like, Zenyatta, his whole stuff got reworked. He has more shields. He's just more of a meatier character. But yeah, I mean, the big thing is obviously Ana, the new hero. And she's fun when you get to actually play her, because right now she's the new character, so everybody and their grandmother, pun intended, is playing the hero. So you wind up on teams with like four of the same character, and you're just like,
oh, great.
You know, well, you give it a week, and everybody will have had their fill and realize that either does work with their playstyle or doesn't. And at that point, then you can play properly, because she's a fun character. I'm not very good as snipers, though, which is unfortunate, but it is kind of cool to be able to shoot your teammates and have it just heal them.
That does sound fun.
Instead of nothing happening, but yeah.
I need to play some more Overwatch.
Me too.
Need to get Jeff and Tony going.
Yeah, I need to get back into it. I was on vacation, so I wasn't really playing anything except Pokemon.
Yeah,
Pokemon's kind of taking over my life now. So, need to get.
Most certainly, need to get back into it. All right, Pete, take us in the news.
Let's see. Well, I went off of your news. Let's see what you got here on this email. All right, well, do we really want to talk about Pokemon Go some more?
No.
All right, I'm just going to ignore that. Dead Rising 2 coming to all consoles that aren't Xbox, because they're already on Xbox. But mostly PC, PS4 is the big thing.
Well, they're also coming to Xbox.
They weren't available already?
These are like remastered versions.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh.
Okay, the big thing I kept seeing was, hey, they're coming to.
Yeah, because
they've never been available there before.
Well, the first one wasn't.
Right. Two. Actually, I did play two on a PS3.
Two was available on PS3.
That game is not good.
These are remasters though, so.
That's cool. No release date on those, I believe. I'm trying to look at the article, see if there's a like a window or something.
I think in the PS3 version you could play as Frank West on the second one.
No, they remade the game with Frank West.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It was like an off-the-record edition or something weird. Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's actually coming or not as well. Like, would mix the two.
Tony, like both those Tony's games, but they haven't bad.
Come on. All right. Well, until I find that article, let's move on from there. Let's see.
It's going to share more details on that soon.
Is that what they said? Okay.
Yeah.
Telltale's Batman will premiere in August.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a trailer that had recently come out. So I haven't checked that out, but from Comic-Con, I think, right, because they're supposed to be, like, going hard on, yeah, there's a trailer here, yeah, like a larger trailer than the one they had shown at E3 for Telltale. If you're curious about that, I'll play Batman. I got, you know, if it, you know, after Arkham Knight, I'm willing to give anything else a shot. So. Overwatch comic book coming out. That was announced today. Be a 100-page graphic novel that focuses on the original Overwatch team, like the founding members kind of stuff. So.
So, Widowmaker.
No, she's I don't. Maybe. Hold on. That she's a little complicated. Because I don't actually think she was a member of the team until she became.
Okay.
Widowmaker. I'm a little bit fuzzy on the lore, but I can tell you that Soldier 76, Reaper, Ana, Reinhardt, Torbjorn, Mercy, and maybe a couple other, Winston, I believe.
I think Winston was, right?
So, like, the cover art is out here, and it has Soldier 76, Reaper, Torbjorn, Reinhardt, Ana, and a couple other characters that are new that either might die by the end of it or are giving us hints towards future heroes. Who knows? But that's coming out in the summer of... Nope, that's the art book. April of next year. And then there's an art book coming out in the summer of next year. And then there should be more details coming... Well, there should have been more details later today, or earlier today, because there's an Overwatch panel at Comic-Con. That's kind of the thing, we're like on the cusp of Comic-Con, so we'll have a lot more news to talk about next week in terms of reveals and stuff like that.
Cool.
Release date for Rise of the Tomb Raider should be the end of this year.
It's October, I believe.
The date listed, is October 11th. Yes. That was listed on the Italian PlayStation site, or the Italian Amazon site, one of the two. It's a little confusing. IGN's article is not very clear about that. Talking about Life is Strange, the first episode is now permanently free on all platforms. So, which includes PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, Mac, and PC beginning today. So, if you haven't yet played the games, definitely check out that first episode. What's up?
No, I was just saying what you just said. I think I'm a little bit off or whatever right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing actually echoes, I think, from you. It's a little funny.
Weird.
I think Persona 5 went gold.
Cool for Persona 5.
For that, in terms of news, I'm scrolling to make sure I didn't miss anything interesting. I could nitpick a couple of things here, but there's a lot of stuff that we just don't care about.
Well, I think we talked about this maybe previously, that Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It was revealed as coming in September.
Nice. So. Where's Tony, goddammit? Because there's one last news story that I want to talk about, but I need him for it, because he's the Hitman guy.
Oh, well...
Oh, actually, I know what this is.
I'm the Hitman guy, and it's Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Ozzy.
We hold up for 1 second, see if Tony comes back. But HD Nintendo Entertainment System Classic Edition is coming this fall.
That looks snazzy.
You know what? I think that would be a great gift for me for Christmas. If someone wanted me to get a cool little gift for Christmas, yeah, little Nintendo Entertainment System with 30 games on it, yeah.
30 games is only $60, so it's not a big expenditure.
Only $60. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I'll get it for you.
It's a cute little miniature Nintendo.
You gotta do a nice dance for me or something. You know?
A nice dance? I'll pose naked. Mini NES over
there.
There is an actual...
Work for that NES.
There's a joke thing, I think, that I don't remember who was setting it up, but Giant Bomb guys were talking about it at E3 this year, the Men of Video Games calendar.
Yeah. There you go, baby.
That's a thing.
But, all right, well, Stefazi, since you'll be my Hitman guy right now.
Yeah.
Gary Busey was voted as the illicit target. Who were the other people you could vote for?
There's only one other. I think it was Gary Cole.
Oh, that was it? Oh, that's not nearly as exciting as
I thought. Yeah, and he's the guy from... Brady Bunch, right? No, not Brady Bunch.
What the fuck?
Lumberg fucker.
Yeah, there you go. And he was on Entourage for a couple of seasons.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it was going to be Z-list.
I thought it was Gary Coleman at first, and that would have been great, but no, it's Gary Cole. So, yeah, if you have to choose, you're definitely going to go Gary Busey.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a 7-day contract, so.
Yeah. So. Pretty long. That's, that's all the news that I've been able to find. Nothing. Nothing too big this week.
That's a great game that people should be playing, by the way.
I agree.
That is a fantastic game.
Oh, Hitman?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very good.
$5? $5 an episode?
$10.
I would just recommend getting the whole thing, because what they do is that it's always fresh. It's like that one game that you could just keep coming back to, and I follow them on Twitter so that I always know when they have these elusive contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the real game, you can hold down like the sense thing and they'll highlight them as red, but in the elusive contract you can't do that. You only get one shot at it. And the previous elusive contract was a twin. Like, it was two people. You can only kill one. You can't kill the other. So
that's cool.
It made it very interesting as far as... And the only thing that you could see is, like, one of them had a watch. So you had to wait very carefully and wait till you saw. And then you had to, like, kind of keep track of it because, again, there's no, like, mark or anything. So it's pretty awesome. Like, it gives you kind of that sense of thrill because it is, like, you can only play it once. And it's, And it's not like, and it's only kind of a few days. Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, I can't just load up all the elusive contracts. I have to play it during that time span. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's quite a bit of fun. So we had a question come in last week, but Tony and I recorded early. Daxter asks, why do you guys think the PS Vita failed?
Oh.
That's a very complicated question.
That's a very easy question. There wasn't any fucking games on it.
Well, actually...
That's not true.
That's not true at all, actually. Okay. It's the games that were on there didn't run properly, and they went... I think, in my opinion, it boils down to price... memory cards, especially, being way too expensive.
The memory cards were ridiculous.
And they tried to give you the console on the go experience, which is something that Nintendo has never tried to do with the 3DS. They've given you handheld experiences, but like, I mean, when they announced the Vita, they did so with a trailer for Metal Gear Solid 4 and Fallout 3 running on it. Not that those games ever came out, but that was the idea they pushed. I mean, and then they tried to get console games on there. I mean, Borderlands 2 was on Vita, and it ran like shit.
Didn't have exclusive games. Everything you already played on the Vita, you played on different consoles.
A lot of people I know that actually play the Vita, it seems like they use it to play, like, old PS1 games and shit, like, to play handheld type games. Yeah,
That's what it's for now. I mean, and they changed tactics too quick, like, not too quick, but too often, like... It was originally the console on the go. Now it's a remote play thing. Now it's a cross play thing. And, like, at the time, like, nobody really knew what it was, so nobody knew how to develop games for it. And, yeah, you're right, Fozzie, no exclusives. Like, I mean, half the games that are fun to play on it are also on consoles and PC. So.
The only game I played that I really enjoyed was Gravity Rush. That was a fun game, but.
And the second one's coming to consoles.
Yeah. I thought it was already out, maybe even. I don't know.
It's coming out very soon, I believe.
I think in August or something.
That sounds right, yeah.
That's coming to PS4.
I thought Uncharted
right?
was decent.
Uncharted, well, I thought Uncharted was pretty good.
Uncharted had
the
been
one, for Vita.
One of those games that was developed straight for the Vita.
Yeah.
And stuff, but like that was like their big flagship title, and that was at the launch of the console. More or less.
Yeah, I mean, there were other decent, experiments on it. I thought the Little Big Planet game for it was pretty good. Trying to think of the one that came out 2 years ago, the paper craft one.
Tearaway.
I thought that was decent. And did good things with the Vita hardware. But there were too many that just didn't do anything with the actual Vita hardware. It was just like, here's a console experience with which you don't really want because these sticks are shitty and you don't want to sit there and holding it and the battery life isn't great. And
yeah, it was just a poorly made device. I mean, now granted, it's not like the 3DS's battery is any better, at least when the 3DS originally launched.
But the 3DS doesn't require the power that the Vita needed.
Yes.
Games look great. I just the problem that I've always had with console gaming, unless it was like a Game Boy, is that it just doesn't feel good in your hands. Like, those actually did feel okay. Like, I held on to it, and there's only like two buttons or three buttons or whatever may be in a case, and it was easy. And now, you know, with the Vita, and And especially because, like, the way they had to hold it because it had that back strip behind it, I could never find a good, like, couldn't get comfortable with it.
I hate it.
No, I agree with you, Fonzie. It's uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm.
Any game you needed to use, like, the triggers for were just, like, useless because trying to find the spot on the back, it always felt kind of random.
I think that handheld games should always, even if they are like a 60-hour experience, they should feel very short. Like with Pokemon, for example, when I was a kid, you know, I spent 100 hours on that, but I could play like 30 minutes here and there and like be done with it. But if you try and make these like grand games and like these, you know, huge titles and stuff, it just play on a console. No one is going to play these games. Like, you kind of gain away from that handheld, like Peter was saying. Gain away from that experience.
Right. We were going to kind of touch on our best of, you know, the first half, but looks like Tony is he's a little preoccupied with
children.
Yeah, so maybe we'll hold that over for next week, and we'll call it an early night here, unless anybody has anything else they want to kind of touch on.
Yeah.
Nah.
Alrighty. We will be back next week. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Goodnight.